Book of Joshua in the chapter 4, and we'll commence at the verse 1. Joshua chapter 4 and the verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, and as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carry them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. We'll end our reading there at the verse 10. And we trust God will bless to us all tonight, to every heart in the meeting, that reading from his own precious word. Let's just bow briefly in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we lift our hearts, O God, in praise and in thanks and in worship unto thee, the living God of glory, the God who is. Lord, we thank thee that thou art the judge of all the earth. We praise thee, our Heavenly Father. We can say tonight, O God, from our hearts, that our God lives and reigns and shall live and reign forever and ever. We thank thee for this day. We praise thee for thy truth and for the precious gospel. We thank thee for salvation tonight, so full and so free, through the precious blood of Christ. We thank thee for the free gift of God. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, to this congregation, to your servant here. O God, we thank thee, our Heavenly Father, for these anniversary meetings. Grant thy blessing to continue, Lord, upon thy people. Prosper them in all the work of God, among the children, young people, Lord, and outreach work, and the school as well. Undertake, our Heavenly Father, for the ministry. Bless your servant, and grant, Lord, he would know that anointing from heaven, the power of the Holy Ghost, from week to week. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, over the past couple of days, I was thinking of a word for the meeting tonight. I want to give a word of testimony, of course, also. But I was thinking of a word from God that I might bring in the service tonight. And actually, I was in the garden, and I was thinking over what would the Lord have me to say? What word would the Lord give me for the service tonight? And the Lord laid that word, remember, upon my heart. That word came to me time and time again. And what a wonderful word it is. Remembrance, or the word remember. And of course, on this anniversary service, how applicable this is. And it's a time, of course, to reflect on the goodness of God, to remember the faithfulness and the mercy and the goodness of the Lord. And how good is the God that we adore. How faithful the Lord is. And God has kept this work here in Newton Abbey, or Glengormley as it is now. He has kept this work and maintained it even to this very day, to this very hour. And I'm sure we're all thankful in the congregation. Minister, committee elders, and all concerned are thankful for the faithfulness and for the goodness of the Lord. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. And I believe God has laid this word, this wonderful word that we find everywhere in Scripture, upon my heart. And trust will be a blessing just as we think of it for a moment tonight. Because we find first and foremost that the word is applied to God. You remember what we read there in the book of Genesis and in the chapter 8 and the verse 1. God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. He set his love upon him, of course, before the flood came. And he commanded him for to make, to build the ark. And then Noah and his family were gathered in. And the whole world perished at that time. And what an awful occasion. What an awful punishment, condemnation it was upon this world and upon this earth of ours. But God remembered Noah. And when the flood, when the waters had assuaged, as it were, the Lord didn't forsake him. He didn't leave the family and the ark just for to, as it were, drift on aimlessly. God had his heart, his affection, and his love set upon this man, and he remembered Noah. The word, of course, carries many meanings, but it means therefore to earnestly remember or to imprint. And Noah, this man, and all of his family was imprinted upon the mind and upon the heart of the Almighty. And God was going to sustain him, for the Lord had a plan for him. And it's good to know tonight, isn't it, that God has a plan, and the purposes of God will stand, and they will stand forever and forever. The book of Daniel there to me is a great encouragement, as I'm sure it is to you. And we read so many encouraging verses there with regard to the rule of the Almighty. The Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. God rules, and it's good to know that, isn't it, in this day and age in which we live, when there seems to be so much confusion in this world, and even in this land, as people think of Brexit, we look out upon society and everything else and see how things are going. Brethren, the Lord is on the throne, and the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. And God has a plan and a purpose, and that plan and purpose is going to be worked out. God remembered Noah. Didn't forget about him, even after the waters had disappeared, because there was a future for him, and the Lord would be with him, and God would bless him. And surely that is the testimony of every believer, of every Christian in the meeting tonight. Every believer, no matter how weak we feel, and yes, we have in many things, we have come short and we have failed, but yet, as this man was imprinted, as it were, earnestly remembered by the Lord, so it is with every child of God tonight. Dear Christian, tonight, you are imprinted upon the mind of the Almighty, so he will not forget you. And the Apostle Paul reminds us there in Romans in the chapter 8 and in the verse 35. He, as it were, puts out the challenge. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall separate us from the love of God? He says, shall tribulation or distress, whatever it might be, sword? Nobody can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And of course, there's many wonderful things tonight that we can say with regard to the gospel and to God's salvation. But to me, one of the most precious truths to every believer that applies to every child of God is this, that we are safe in Christ. There's safety in Christ. Romans chapter 8 makes that very clear. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? But many other portions of Scripture as well. No man shall pluck us out of his hand. And how wonderful that is. Oh, I trust that this is your testimony tonight, this anniversary service, as you think about the faithfulness and the goodness of God here in this work. But think also of yourself personally, how good and how faithful the Lord has been to you. Now, I thank God tonight here in the meeting. As I was just as I mentioned there a few moments ago, it must be 25 years plus since I first came here to this church. And I thank God tonight for the Lord's mercy and for his faithfulness to me, that God ever remembered me, ever remembered me, and set his matchless love upon me. And I must say it tonight, and I say it with all sincerity and in all truth, it is all of God's grace and mercy. Where would I be tonight? Yes, we could all ask the same question. Where would we be tonight apart from the mercy of the Almighty God? Demonstrated, shown to us in Christ, revealed to us in Christ, where would we be tonight? I often think, it's often on my mind, I think of it continually. It's one of the first things I meditate upon every morning when I awake, the words of the old Puritan Richard Baxter. And he said, one of the first thoughts, the very first thought that the Christian should meditate upon every morning when they awake is this: thank God that you're not in hell. Thank God you're not in hell. We're living in a day, you see, when the word hell is taboo in the pulpit, ought not to be mentioned. I wonder tonight, are you bound for heaven or hell in this meeting? Now, I also realize that when we mention hell, when we speak about a lost eternity, that place of outer darkness, separation from God, we ought never to speak about it unless we have a tender heart and a tear in our eye, just to think of the awfulness of going out into a lost eternity. That's an awful thing, isn't it? Where will you be in eternity? Where will you be in eternity. I thank God for ever remembering me. For I had no gospel background at all, completely ignorant of the things of God, ignorant of the scripture. Grew up as a young lad and into my teenage years, I couldn't have quoted one verse of scripture. Didn't know one book of the Bible. Brought up in a Roman Catholic background where we thought more of Mary, the Virgin Mary, and idols and the worship of idols and all the ceremony that goes with it than we did of Christ. But I thank God for the Lord's mercy tonight that he remembered me, my sin, my lost condition, and bestowed his mercy and saving grace upon me. And I rejoice tonight in the Lord's goodness, a brand plucked from the burning. Didn't know the way of salvation. As I say, couldn't have quoted one verse of scripture. We just went to the chapel. Our mother brought us along to the chapel every Sunday. Saw a priest, heard the mass, bowed before idols, but in complete and utter darkness. But as God remembered Noah, so dear child of God, he has remembered you in his saving grace and mercy, and set his love upon you, as he has upon me as well. He remembered me. And that's the only reason I'm here tonight. I have nothing to boast of at all. I quoted that verse of a hymn there a moment ago. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. And what a wonderful and a glorious God we have tonight. Oh, that we could love the Lord more and more. I'm reading, challenged at the present time, I'm reading the letters of Samuel Rutherford, the old Covenanter, Scottish Covenanter, and what great letters they are. And there, time and time again, he exhorts God's people just to be filled with Christ, to be filled with love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else, brethren, tonight is secondary. No matter what it is, and no matter what we possess in this world, it's of no consequence in one sense. It's way down the line. This is the first thing. This ought to be our passion tonight. Your passion and mine, that our hearts and lives would be overflowing with love to Christ. For he has saved us. If you're saved tonight, you're saved and you're safe. And you're saved from sin and saved from a lost eternity. And that's a wonderful thing. And so the Lord here spoke to Joshua. He speaks here in the verse 6 with regard in time to come. When people would ask, what mean ye by these stones? And then in the latter part of verse 7, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. For the great event, the Lord bringing them across the Red Sea, aye, and across the Jordan as well, giving them victory after victory. Oh, they were not to forget the mercy and the goodness of God. But why are anniversary meetings, why are they needful? And they are needful, I believe. And they are good. They're good. Just to reflect upon the good hand of God upon us and upon the work of God, that he has kept us and prospered us and maintained us all over the years. And here in this work, over 30 years, in fact. Well, now, isn't there a tendency to take things for granted? Just to take things for granted. Even in the life of the Christian, of the believer, There is seems to be this tendency in us all. And how needful it is, especially for the younger generation, to keep this in mind of the cost of the stand of the people of God in a former generation and what they had to go through. When you think of their approach and the cost, as I say, and the opposition. So it's not for nothing that this work came into being and is here today. And the gospel is preached. And the word of the Lord goes forth. There's a tendency to forget. And there's a tendency, isn't there? And perhaps this not just applies to the younger generation, but to us all. There's this tendency just for to be, just as it were, take things for granted. Take things for granted. There's a verse there, there's a word there, comes to us in the book of Judges in the chapter 8 and in the verse 34. The children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. They forgot. They remembered not the Lord their God, who delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. We have it again there in the Psalm, the book of Psalms. And if we turn forward for a moment, there in the book of Psalms, the Psalm 106 and in the verse 7. The Psalm 106 and in the verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. They remembered not the multitude of the Lord's mercies. God reminds me continually, as I'm sure the Lord reminds every child of God here in the meeting. He reminds us just from where he has brought us and what he has done for us. And that keeps us tender in heart, doesn't it? As easy for us, brethren, to forget, take things for granted. And it's all too easy for us as well to get hard. Hardened hearts. And when we open our scriptures, when we open the New Testament, oh, we see the tenderness. And we see the love of our Savior. How he loved sinners. How he loved sinful men. That he so loved the world, God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when I look, and when I think, just when I see, especially when I think of the south of Ireland, and even my own connections and some of my own family down there, and see the darkness that prevails, the idolatry, the awful state of the country, and just how it has declined. It has cast off all, we might say, fear of God, reverence for God. And I'm reminded myself time and time again, there go I but for the grace of God. There go I but for the grace of God. And you see, it's good for to keep these things before us, in our minds, forefront of our minds, when we think of what God has done for us. As I say, where would I be tonight? Where would we be if it were not for the goodness and for the mercy of the Lord. God forbid we should take anything for granted. Forget about the kindness of the living God. Forget about Calvary and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to meditate more upon it. And as I say, repeating the words of old Samuel Rutherford, oh, to be filled and to be overflowing with the love of Christ. When we think of how he has rescued us, saved us from sin, and saved us from a lost eternity. Thank God tonight for what the Lord means to us. Yes, there is reproach and there's cost. All is reproach and cost. I was thinking of the words of Peter there in the second epistle of Peter in the chapter 1, the verse 1. He was writing his letter to those scattered abroad, Bithynia and different places. And why were they scattered abroad? They were scattered abroad for the cause of Christ. It's not because they were bad neighbors, not because they were criminals, lawbreakers, but they were scattered abroad because they were joined to Christ, because of their union with him. And dear Christian, there is something wrong. There is something wrong if we're not experiencing some measure of reproach for the gospel. Some measure of reproach. I'm not saying, well, we never know what the future holds. I'm not saying that we necessarily will be put out of our homes and out of our districts like these believers were, we find in the New Testament. But so it was with them. But isn't it true that every church, every faithful band of people, evangelical people standing for the faith once delivered unto the saints, will have to face some measure of reproach? Everybody's not going to clap us on the back. Everybody is not going to praise us and say, isn't that a wonderful place down there? Isn't that a wonderful fellowship? Isn't that a great church? No, that's not the case at all. There'll always be reproach for the gospel and for faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And like so many believers, like so many of God's people in times gone past, for their testimony, they've had to leave home and leave district. When I was converted to the Church of Rome back in 1970-74, when I was saved, there was a lot of opposition. And a lot of opposition from family, a lot of opposition from neighbors and from people round about, so much so that I had to leave home and I had to get out of where I lived. The opposition was so bad. But I wouldn't have been that. That's not the first time that has happened. That's happened all down through the centuries, and far worse as well. Many of God's people have not only for to leave, had to leave home, but had to leave country as well. I didn't have to do that, but that's happened to God's people. Countless numbers of the Lord's saints, because of pressure and because of opposition and reproach, have had to leave house and family. But the Lord is good. God is good. I remember my old grandfather that I was brought up at, more or less. My parents lived a short distance away. And I remember him bringing me to the priest at the time. And he was concerned that I was going to leave the church and forsake what they would refer to as the one true faith. And they still refer, the Church of Rome still refers to the one true faith, their faith, Romanism. And of course, he was very much annoyed and upset about that, and brought me to the priest. And I remember well his words to the priest, because he was brought up in the Church of Rome. And I remember so clearly, he said to the priest, he said, I was always told that our church was the one true church, and outside of it, there was no salvation. That's what he said to the priest. That's what he was taught. Oh, the deception of Romanism. The deception of Romanism. The darkness of Romanism. What an awful snare it is. And I remember the priest, I don't know exactly what the man believed fully, but I remember the priest said to me, he says, I don't believe that, he said. That's what the priest said to him, and of course that made him more angry than ever. He says, I don't believe that. There was reproach. And as I say, like so many countless numbers of God's people, over the years and over the centuries, for the testimony of Christ, there has to be a price. A price was paid. And we ought not to be surprised in this day and age that there is fierce opposition. The devil hates the gospel, hates the testimony of God's people, hates the work of the Lord. But God is faithful. God is faithful. But just very briefly, there is that personal aspect to it as well, very much so. And we have it there, for example, in Ephesians, in the chapter 2 and in the verse 11. Chapter 2 and the verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The Apostle Paul, calling upon these Gentile believers, remember, he says, wherefore remember that ye been in time past. The believer has a past history. It was one of darkness and one of ruin. But the believer, praise God, the Christian, has a present standing, and it is in Christ. And thank God the believer has a wonderful and a glorious future. Isn't that the whole problem with society tonight, with our world? There's no future. It's just living for the here and now. Just living for today, for the material. And for what people can gather together. Ah, but the believer, praise God, can look above all of that. Yes, you have your business to carry on, certainly, and your life to live, and there's responsibilities. Ah, but there's better things. Time past. Remember. Praise God, there's a future. And there is glory. And there is heaven for all eternity. That's a wonderful thing. And when your time comes and my time comes, we don't know when that may be. We know not what a day may bring forth. But we know that when our time comes, God's appointed time, it'll be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. I wonder tonight, are you saved in the meeting, this anniversary service? Have you got an anniversary? You have a wedding anniversary? You have had the church anniversary? birthdays, so on so forth, you remember? But tonight, can you look back to a day and an hour, a time? You may not be able to pinpoint exactly. But you know, there was a time when you passed from death on to life. And you're saved tonight. I praise God I'm saved by the grace of God. There is nothing of any good in me apart from God's grace and of God's mercy. And I thank God tonight for the precious blood that has redeemed me. I thank God for lifting me out of darkness, delivering me from idols, from superstition, from ignorance, and for giving to me the gospel and the word of God. Dear soul, tonight, if you're not saved, look to Christ and be saved in time and call upon him for mercy, ere it be too late. If you were to die tonight and pass from this world, where would you be in eternity? Where would you be in eternity? May the Lord, if you're not converted, awaken you in the meeting, this anniversary service, and may you be saved in time. May the Lord bless his word to us. Amen.